Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
I hope you're feeling well today. Doing well. Thank you for listening in. I'm Neil Stavem. This is Connecting Faith. We're talking health today, medicine, health, well-being, how we eat and take care of our bodies. And we're getting some great advice from a doctor friend who is willing to carve out a little time to come back with us. So speaking of doctors, Irma Bombeck says, never go to a doctor whose office plants have died. Got to keep that in mind. And, of course, there's the classic line from Henny Youngman. I told my doctor I broke my leg in two places, and he told me to quit going to those places. Well, today we're going to get medical advice even better than that. Some common sense, some biblical wisdom, and general medical advice from an award-winning physician. We are honored to have back with us Dr. J. Scott Reese, who's board-certified and award-winning family medicine and emergency medicine physician and founder of iFactor Health. And he specializes in helping people make sense of today's complex medical issues in a way that's clear and understandable. And he also provides blogs and podcasts at drreese.com and has functioned as a medical consultant for ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox Network affiliates. Provides weekly radio commentaries for stations around the country. And he has written a great book as well called Your Best Doctor Visit Ever, 12 proven strategies for an exceptional visit with your doctor. So today, we get a free visit with the doctor. And in light of today's healthcare prices, that seems like a great value. So we're going to open up the phone lines right away, too. So if you have a medical-related question, love to have you join in. Here's the number. It's 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. Dr. Reese, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Well, thank you, Neil. Always great to be back with you.
We look forward to conversations today, and wanted to, you know, I don't know if you want to weigh in on the healthcare bill in Congress. Maybe that's not something that I suppose you have to be aware of it, but if you want to share an opinion on it, otherwise we'll jump into our topic of the day.
Oh, sure. You know, you ask any doctor for an opinion, they'll always give you one. Maybe they'll give you two sometimes, but well, you're right. I think it is a big deal. The only thing is just the misnomer of it all. The issue isn't about healthcare, really. We really have the best healthcare in the world. People still coming here from all over the world. People have access to care. Believe it or not, now not enough primary care. Indeed, we need to make improvements there. But the big issue isn't so much healthcare in this country; it's who pays for the healthcare, and what are the expectations that people should receive from their healthcare. That's what's at issue here, and that's what needs some reform. So, I'm a little disappointed, I guess, that things have stalled out a little bit. But I do think ultimately we need some clarity. And we need to fix what is still broken. That's the financing behind this healthcare we have.
Well, when it comes to fixing some things, the reality is that we could probably all be in better health or take better care of ourselves. And I know you, as a Christ follower, certainly recognize that we sometimes as Christians think, well, it's all about the spiritual and not so much the physical. But things are out of balance there, aren't they?
Indeed, and you're right. I mean, God made us physical, emotional, and spiritual, and they affect each other. So a lot of people will attend to the physical and forget about the spiritual, but you can make the opposite mistake too and just so focus on the spiritual. We forget about the physical, you know, our bodies as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And, I think C.S. Lewis had it right when he said our bodies and our spirits are so closely intertwined that they catch each other's diseases. And I do believe that's true. And so there's a lot we can do to help both and keep both healthy in the long run.
One of the things that is certainly a big factor in our health has to do with our weight. And we want to talk today about the top five weight loss mistakes everyone makes. And I'm kind of intrigued to find out what those are, because my guess is that I have made one or two of those. And so let's jump in. What is this something Doc, that you see just because the people are coming in and that, you know, weight affects so many other aspects of their health?
Absolutely. You know, if I had to think of it, just one thing that discouraged more of my patients over the last 20 years than anything else, it's just frustrations about their weight. I mean, they recognize maybe, you know, the pounds have sort of accumulated over the years. And so they say, okay, I need to get healthy. You know, we've just come through the New Year's and everybody made New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose weight this time. I'm going to do it. And then soon it just sort of fades. And maybe they lose some weight, but those pounds then come back on. I mean, you know, okay, I'm going to lose 15 pounds. So I lose 15 pounds. And then slowly now it's, you know, two of them come back, then five, then 10, then all 15 right back on again and again. And Neil, that's just so frustrating. My heart goes out to people. And I've worked with people for two decades now on this. How do you maximize your health? How do you shed those unwanted pounds? How do you really transform your health? And you know, over the years, the science has become better. And so we understand now what's behind this. And I think it'll surprise a lot of people. So this is, I love this kind of topic of, you know, what are the top five weight loss mistakes almost everybody makes? So, yeah, that's good. Let's talk about the first one. Neil, if I can just jump into one. You know, people oftentimes will say, okay, I'm going to lose weight, so I'm going to count my calories. And that is actually one of the top five weight loss mistakes everybody makes. And that's this, counting your calories. And I used to preach this. I mean, honestly, I'm sort of embarrassed to admit, but it's what I was taught in medical school, right? Your weight basically is the sum of the calories you put in minus the calories you burn equals your weight. Right? I mean, it sounds very, very simple, like kind of like, you know, 4 - 2 = 2. You want to lose weight, subtract some calories, burn some more. The problem is it's wrong. It doesn't work. Your weight is not simple math. So counting your calories doesn't work. There's other factors involved. One calorie isn't the same as another calorie. So people will often make the mistake and they'll jump in and say, okay, I'm going to add up the math. I'm going to add up the calories in. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to lose weight. And it just won't work. Won't work for the long term.
Well, I mean, that's in what ways are calories different? I mean, aren't calories calories? I mean, we love simple math, by the way. So this is, you know, if are you saying that it's more complicated than that, or is it just a different equation?
Well, the way I explain to people is there's another factor involved. And you and I have talked about this before. It's what I call your I factor. Little I stands for insulin, or more specifically, insulin resistance. There's a problem that's ubiquitous in our Western culture, in our diet, and that's this. It's a high I factor, or elevated insulin resistance. Basically, something's at work in your body preventing that simple math from working. So when you take calories, let's say, okay, I'm going to cut back. In fact, they've done some studies. You know those 100 calorie packs? You may have seen them, like this little package of little chips or little cookies, are only 100 calories, right? Yeah. Low calorie this. The problem is people think, okay, I'm only going to eat 100 calories. But then you get a big response in your body with specifically a hormone called insulin that not only doesn't let you metabolize it well, it converts that into fat. It doesn't let you burn the fat that you want to burn. So, you know, the net effect is you're kind of reducing your calorie number, but you can't burn fat because your I factor is too high. So we talk a lot about this in this I factor program that we do, but the bottom line is that mistake is thinking that it's so simple. All I need to do is count the calories and less in, burn more, and I'll lose weight. But it doesn't work. It frustrates people time and time again.
Well, you mentioned burning calories, because that brings up the other, you know, main one, I think, is that it's all about exercise. So is that a mistake as well?
You know, I recently did a survey, Neil, hundreds of people about their experience with weight loss. And hundreds of people took this. They chimed in on their journey. And I asked a bunch of questions, got all kinds of fascinating, fascinating results, and I really felt their pain. But there was one question I asked that 9 out of 10 people got wrong. I mean, I was astounded. But it showed me kind of just the commonality of this mistake. And it was about exercise. And the question was basically this. What do you think is necessary for, a successful weight loss? Do you need to exercise, basically exercise like crazy? You don't need any exercise at all, or you need a balance of diet and exercise? And 9 out of 10 got that question wrong. What everybody said was, yeah, you either need to exercise a whole lot or you need a balance in exercise and diet. The truth is, for meaningful weight loss, you can do that without exercise at all. Now, before people go, wait, what's this heretic talking about here? Let me just clarify. I'm not saying exercise isn't important. Exercise most certainly is important. Activity is important, starting from our kids all the way through. But that's important in health maintenance. When it comes to losing weight, okay, now we're going to go on a specific journey with a goal of losing weight and then keeping it off. That losing weight part of the journey not only does not need exercise per se to start that journey, but sometimes if you start the two simultaneously, you'll actually backfire and undermine yourself, making it much more difficult. So I teach people about that and the fact that, actually it's a lot of science behind it. What happens is when you start exercising, particularly if you're going from zero to like 20 miles an hour kind of thing on exercise, not even zero to 60, just zero to 10 or 20 miles an hour metaphorically here, you're sort of expending energy by burning sugar, right? Yeah. And we want to really address the sugar intake, and you're depleting it from your muscles. So now your body's craving sugar. You're trying to cut back on things like carbohydrates and sugars, but then your body starts craving it. Further, you're depleting all these stores of glycogen in your liver and your muscle, which is how your body kind of stores glucose or sugar. So now you're really giving yourself a double or triple whammy, undermining yourself. The bottom line here is, you can do successful weight loss, especially starting that journey, with just dietary modification alone. The exercise will come later.
Mm. Wow. We need to take a quick little break, but come back. We're talking about the 5 top weight loss mistakes everyone makes with Dr. J. Scott Reese. And we've addressed issues of counting calories and how we assume that exercise is going to take care of it all for us. There's 3 more we want to get to as well. And you may have some questions. Just maybe they're just general medical questions, or you've been working on some of the weight loss things and just struggling. Like to get some insight, some help. Dr. Reese here to answer your questions. We'll open up the phone lines here the rest of the hour, so you can join in with us, or if you're just trying to keep your family healthy this winter and wondering if there's something you can do besides putting on a hazmat suit. 877-933-2484 is our phone number, 877-93-FAITH. By the way, Dr. Reese is the founder of iFactor Health. You can find out more about that online, iFactorHealth.com. We'll also talk about a little quiz that will be up here soon that you could take part in. All that's coming up. Phone lines are open. If you have a question or you want to submit something online, you go to MyFaithRadio.com, click on the Connecting Faith show page, and there's an email link there, and you can submit your question or comment that way. And we'll talk more with Dr. Reese in a moment. Every breath is a miracle, and we want to realize how short life is and live it well, and we want to be well as we serve the Lord. And so we're learning more about that today with our doctor friend, Dr. J. Scott Reese, who's a board-certified, award-winning family medicine and emergency medicine physician, founder of iFactor Health, and he blogs and provides timely medical updates through his blog and podcasts. And speaks on health issues, media around the nation. We're honored to have him with us. He's also Vice President, National Director of Campus and Community Ministries for the Christian Medical and Dental Association. Got a great little book called Your Best Doctor Visit Ever, 12 Proven Strategies for an Exceptional Visit for Your Doctor. And he's taking your calls today at 877-93-FAITH. Now, we're talking about the 5 weight loss mistakes that everyone makes. Talked about counting calories. It's not a simple math of input versus what we burn. also talking about that exercise doesn't necessarily have to be directly involved. In fact, sometimes it works against us. And I wanted to ask you, Dr. Reese, because it does seem like that when we're trying to, you know, adjust our weight, that our bodies seem like it works against us so hard. Is that really how do we overcome that resistance? And is there more than just willpower needed?
Well, indeed, there is more than willpower. In fact, you just hit on another one of the top five kind of weight loss mistakes, quite honestly, Neil, and that's is we rely on our willpower. We sort of make this decision, okay, I'm ready, I'm convinced, I'm going to do this, by golly. And then lo and behold, it kind of, you know, peters out on us like, oh, I was so determined. How did that happen? But the issue, and in fact, there's a lot of amazing science behind this, Neil. There's just simply amazing science behind the brain and all this. And I talk about this a lot to the folks who take this journey with iFactor Health, is that the brain chemistry is critical to what's happening in your weight, especially if you're thinking about weight loss. And there's amazing science. In fact, there was a great study that was done a few decades ago called the marshmallow test. And the marshmallow test was done with kids. And you want to see some very hilarious videos, just Google, you know, the marshmallow test, and you'll find out. They took kids, they're like 4 and 5 year old kids back in the 70s, and they put them in this room, and they offered them, you know, one of three treats. They could have a pretzel, a cookie, or a marshmallow, and hence the name, the marshmallow test. But they were then told, now, before you choose, this person, the researcher's got to step away for just a couple minutes. If you can wait, when he gets back, not only can you have one of those treats, you can choose two of them. And the videos are hilarious, Neil. So the kids, right, they're squirming. They're trying all kinds of delay strategies, closing their eyes, or sitting on their hands, or pulling their hair. You know, some are kind of hovering over those treats. Some are even sort of caressing them a little bit. And so on average, those kids held out maybe 3 minutes. After that, forget about it. In fact, only 3 out of 10 made it the entire 15 minutes of the test. And it was clear, you know, kids would struggle with delayed gratification, willpower in very short supply. But interestingly, they went back a couple of decades later, Neil, and they got transcripts. They look at the records, their social progress and everything. It was fascinating. Whether or not that child was able to delay gratification had a huge indicator on their future success. In fact, over that 30 years, that they found that the kids that were able to delay that and sort of muster that willpower, if you would, their SAT scores were higher. They had better feelings of self-worth, they had better stress management, better relationally than the kids who gave in right away. So it affects us all through adulthood, but most of us are kind of going to be in that sort of low delayers. And so that's why, you know, willpower, I tell people, willpower is kind of like gas in the tank of your car. The more you try to resist something tempting, the more you use it up. And then the more you resist, the emptier your tank gets until you run out of gas. And so we try to do these stressful things in our day. You know, we've got busyness, you know, at the job, or we go to work and we've got this going on at school and taking the kids here and all these, you know, activities at church. And then pretty soon we're, you know, pretty wiped out in the stress and the busyness of everybody. Our family's busier. So more and more of everything, faster and faster. And then we use up all that gas, and then we sit down to a meal and go, oh, forget about it. I'm just starving. And then boom, 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 there it goes. Our willpower wilts, even though we've got great intent to try to lose weight.
Well, can you talk about the willpower? Because I think maybe some people say, well, I'll just cut back on sugar, or I'll drop some of that, or, you know, find some substitute. Is that a good idea?
Well, bingo, another top weight loss mistake. People kind of, I think, intuitively now understand sugar is bad. I mean, sugar is really underlying the issue of our weight problems, of our insulin resistance, our high I factors. And so most people on a diet recognize, okay, I need to cut this out. But the big mistake comes here, is they substitute calorie-free sweeteners. And, you know, things like NutraSweet and Splenda, even Stevia, and those type of things, aspartame. And they think, well, there's no calories in it, so it's probably going to be okay, right? And that's where the big mistake comes in. using sugar substitutes. The truth is, there is now lots of research that shows not only do those artificial sweeteners, those calorie-free sweeteners, increase the risk of diabetes, they also increase the risk of developing obesity or being overweight. There's a direct correlation, even though there are zero calories. So just because there's no calories doesn't mean those diet sodas or those sugar-free snacks are of no problem. No calories doesn't equal no problem. The reason, Neil, is it's brain chemistry. Mm. Brain chemistry, again, playing a critical role. Yes, you don't get nutrients. You don't get energy in the form of calories to burn with those sugar-free things, but you do get a response in your brain. They've actually done some studies where they've taken people and they sort of watch a functional MRI, like a PET CT or a functional MRI, and they watch the brain activity. And they see a response. Let's say people who are addicts, addicted to alcohol or cocaine, they see a big response in the pleasure center of the brain called the nucleus accumbens. And it just lights up like a Christmas tree. And those people who say are alcohol addicts and they get exposed to alcohol, well, then they take people to sugar. They give them sugar. The same response happens on those brain scans. They light up. That pleasure center lights up like a Christmas tree. Then you take people with these artificial sweeteners. Similar response. Boom, lights it up. You get this big dopamine response. Those receptors, those sort of we call sweet receptors in the brain, if you will, the artificial sweeteners bind those receptors up to 10,000 times more strongly than even sugar does. It is all about your brain. Your brain chemistry plays a huge role in your health, in your weight, which is why avoiding those sugar substitutes is critical. In fact, I recommend pretty much all the time, especially if you're trying to lose weight.
We're talking the top five weight loss mistakes everyone makes. We've gone through four of them. We need to take a little break here coming up. We've got a couple of folks with questions. We're going to get to your calls here after the break. So I want to encourage you can still call and be a part of that, be part of the conversation here. We've got the rest of the hour to take your calls and talk more about what we've discussed so far. The number is 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Or if it's more convenient to just drop us a note online, you can go to myfaithradio.com, click on the Connecting Faith show page, and just use the email link there and submit your question. So there's one other mistake that we make, and it's one that you would think it almost sounds biblical. So why shouldn't we do that? We'll see what Dr. Reese has to say. Dr. J. Scott Reese, our guest today, is award-winning family medicine and emergency medical physician and founder of iFactor Health. And you can find out more about that at iFactorHealth.com. And he's practiced and taught in private and academic settings, thriving at the intersection of practice, business, and ministry. With us today, talking good health. I want to encourage you to stay tuned. Give us a call. And we'll get to your calls and more. Dr. J. Scott Reese in just a moment here on Connecting Faith. It's 877-933-2484. Glad to have you listening to Connecting Faith today. We're connecting on ways to improve our health with Dr. J. Scott Reese, who has been our guest in the past. He's a part of the Christian Medical and Dental Association. He represents and provides timely medical updates through his blogs and podcasts at drreese.com. He's founder of iFactor Health, and you can find more about that at iFactorHealth.com. He still practices, sees patients in the Tennessee, Virginia area. With us today, our phone lines are open at 877-93-FAITH, and we'll get to calls in a moment. But, Dr. Reese, we're talking about some of the five weight loss mistakes everyone makes. We've covered several of them, but there's one more. Let's talk about that.
Well, the last one, Neil, I would say is this, is have a perspective of I can lose weight by doing all things in moderation. In moderation. And moderation is generally a good philosophy. It's a good principle. It's a good approach. However, the issue here is when it comes to our weight, moderation is a good way to maintain, right? I mean, moderation means we don't want to go too far down the road one way or too far down the road another way. But the truth is, our goal isn't to stay put with our weight. Our goal is to go the other direction, right? To losing weight. So we have to make some changes. That being said, the sort of the opposite end of that spectrum can also be an issue. And that's it. I'm going on a quote unquote diet. Now, I'm not a big fan of going on a diet either, because that implies, that sort of implies that we're going to make this change for a little while. I'm going to deprive myself for a while. I'm going to do things I don't normally do. But what happens is we can't really beat our brain. Again, it comes back to the brain, Neil. You know, we have to retrain our brain, and we have to engage in a new journey to a new lifestyle. And that's really the way to defeat that mistake of thinking moderation will get me there, or the other end is I got to do this diet. We have to change our mentality. We have to reprogram our brain, because our brain is the biggest organ that is involved in our weight. We tend to think it's our stomach, right, or appetite. But where do those cravings, where does hunger come from? Where do those withdrawal symptoms come through in the mid-afternoon when we think our sugar's low, but it's not? It's our insulin's too high. We think we have hypoglycemic symptoms because we eat and we feel better, but the truth is our insulin's too high. That's the problem. Where does all that come from? It comes from our brain. So we can't fall trapped to the thought that moderation will get us to where we need to do, nor the trap that I need a quote-unquote diet. What we need is a transformation of the journey of our lifestyle. That will get us to successful long-term weight loss.
And that's, I know people could find out more about that or learn how to get on the journey at iFactorHealth.com, right?
Absolutely. In fact, Neil, I'm just really excited. In the next 24 hours, we're actually launching a brand new quiz, the iFactor quiz, that people, 9 real simple questions people can take and assess their risk for an elevated iFactor. And this is just going to be phenomenal. So I've had people taking this already, and they said, man, this is just so eye-opening with what's going on. And when you take the quiz, you go through it, and then once you've finished it, you get personalized response of exactly what your risk is with regard to insulin resistance and elevated iFactor, particularly on your weight loss journey. So people can jump. In fact, your listeners, if they want to jump over to iFactorHealth.com, if you put your name and email in there, you'll get an email from us within the next 24 hours directing you to that quiz site. Absolutely free, no cost, no obligation, nothing. It's just we're helping people get the word out about this particular strategy to really lose weight for the long term. iFactorHealth.com, put your name and email in there. We'll send you that quiz absolutely free.
Sounds great. Well, let's go to the phone lines. People waiting to talk to you, Dr. Reese. We've got DJ calling in from Hartford, Connecticut. DJ, welcome to Connecting Faith. What's your question for Dr. Reese?
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I am postmenopausal for many years now, 59 years old, generally healthy, but I have celiac disease, and absorption seems to be a key factor. Weight loss is technically not a problem if I detox, cleanse every 2 months, and stay super strict with what I'll call the Tom Brady eating style. I did that for a couple of years, but I have to say it's so hard to maintain. And so since I've been eating organic and clean, no dairy, very little red beef, very healthy and strict otherwise, and not detoxing every 2 months, I find that I gained 20 pounds back. So I'm struggling with this, and I'm wondering if maybe you have some ideas for me.
Indeed. DJ, GA, thanks so much for calling. And I don't know if that means you're a Tom Brady fan or not, but that's okay.
Yes,
I still like
you anyway. If you're in New England, you have to be a Tom Brady fan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's a requirement.
Yeah.
He's a talented guy. Yeah. But so it's very interesting, your journey. And you've mentioned in kind of two things. And first is kind of, you know, postmenopausal, going through that change of life. Hormones are changing, and of course, that's related to the female organs, but the other, of course, the organ that hits is the brain, big time, and you know when you experience sort of those hot flashes and mood swings and sleep deprivation, all those things. So that's going on. Then you talk about the celiac disease, which is really a true allergy to gluten. People with celiac disease, you know, you've heard a lot about, well, I'm gluten intolerant, and we've got sort of on this gluten-free kick, and it's kind of I believe to be a fad in the majority. Now, not people like DJ. DJ really has an allergy to gluten, and she has true SPRU, or what we call celiac disease. So she has to stay away from gluten. So here's the thing that I see happen sometimes in people with celiac disease or SPRU like you've mentioned, DJ, is this. They'll go on a real strict gluten-free diet. So I'm making the presumption. You're really staying away from gluten well. You've educated yourself. You learned it. And then you kind of lose weight. Then you kind of detox and things reset. But the issue isn't just limited to gluten when it comes to our weight. And now let me put the pause button just for a second there. Let me jump over to everybody else, the non-DJs, everybody else who says, well, I eat gluten and I feel bad and I sort of did what my friends did when a gluten-free diet. I felt a whole lot better and I lost weight. Well, what was happening there was what you're doing is you're fixing your insulin resistance, right? You were sort of dropping down some gluten and you were cutting out a lot of wheat products and everything else. And so your insulin was improving. You were losing weight, not because you have necessarily an allergy to gluten, but simply because your body was doing a whole lot better fixing your insulin resistance. Okay, so that's everybody else. Now back to DJ. DJ is already avoiding gluten. But DJ, there's a lot of things that don't have gluten but still impact your insulin resistance. So it sounds like what's happening is that you are making good changes for your celiac disease, but there's some other things that are still bumping up your I factor. There's things that are increasing your insulin resistance. And when your insulin resistance is high, your body is getting a hormonal signal that, number one, prevents you from burning fat. Number two, puts you in a fat storing mode. So I think it would be really fascinating to have you take this quiz I just mentioned at iFactorHealth.com when that comes out in the next 24 hours and see how many of those other related symptoms are going with your weight gain too. Because my suspicion is it could be insulin resistance problem even though you're staying away from gluten. So make sure not only that you check your fasting sugar with your doctor, check your A1C, DJ. A1C is a long-term diabetes test. If it is 5.6 or higher, there you go. You have definitely got a problem with insulin resistance. Now, you might, even if it's a little lower, but if it's 5.6 or higher, diagnostic. That's probably the issue in your weight. So I'd love to see you take that quiz and see what your result is.
Insulin resistance is going to, you said it's going to prevent from burning fat and also gets the body to store fat. That's going to happen every time, right?
I mean, every time.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's why we have this problem with obesity starting in our children, Neil. Yeah, because what's happening, we're feeding them juice in the morning and then these sweetened cereals. So they're getting these big sugar boluses, which causes their body in turn to increase their insulin levels to process all that sugar. Well, then eventually the cells get kind of deaf to insulin. It's kind of like you're in a lot of loud noise all the time. You eventually, you know, your ears kind of tune it out. Your body tunes out some of the insulin, so you have to make more to overcome that insulin resistance. Well, when those insulin levels go higher, including in our little children, you know, you see them as like pudgy, chubby kids walking around. But the issue is it's happening internally and they're insulin resistant and that's why they're gaining weight. And it carries over to adulthood, into diabetes and prediabetes and heart disease and stroke and on and on and on, even cancer. So it is the issue. And I'm kind of passionate about that.
Yeah, clearly. Well, and we need to be informed on it. So thank you for doing that, Dr. J. Scott Reese. With us today on Connecting Faith, it's a Ask the Doctor hour, and Sherry in Cottage Grove has been waiting patiently on line one. Sherry, thanks for waiting. You're on with Dr. Reese.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Reese. I just have a quick question. I kind of got caught up in this tumor thing. The last 5 years just seemed like they've been pushing that pretty heavy, and it gets pretty spendy. And I was thinking about my parents and grandparents. I didn't know any of them that were on these kinds of herbs and things, and they lived a long life. I'm just wondering, is it worth the money, or does a person really need all that, or what's your thoughts?
Great question, Sherry. Thanks so much for your patience and your great call today, especially about turmeric and then in general, it sounds like you're asking, you know, what about all these other supplements that are available to us that are promoted, and boy, oh boy, are things ever heavily promoted, this, that, and the other. And there are a lot of confusing things out there. In fact, there's a good friend of mine, Dr. Walt Larimore, has written a book. It's called, the Christian Guide to Alternative Medicine. A great resource. You can get it on Amazon if you just Google Christian Guide to Alternative Medicine and Walt Larimore. But Walt does a great job sort of unpacking all kinds of these things and what the science is behind it. Because there's a lot of stuff that's sort of well, let's say questionable at best. But then I will tell you, there are some things that are increasing with scientific evidence behind them. And basically all that means is when we say there's sort of science behind it, is that there's reproducible benefits. If we give it to you and we give it to your neighbor, we give it to your daughter and your cousin, we're likely to see similar benefits. That's all science really tests, is to see the reproducibility of all that. So with turmeric in particular, now turmeric is the main spice in curry. And there's one particular compound within that turmeric called curcumin. And that's what we think is really what's behind the benefit of turmeric. And there are lots of studies that have reviewed the potential health benefits of turmeric. And it does seem like indeed they are. Here are the main kind of benefits I would say that are particularly helpful. The first is reducing inflammation. And we'll see this with capsaicin too, which is another natural supplement, Sherry. And so if people have arthritis and they kind of get inflammation in their joints and stiffness in the day and in the morning and the evening, sometimes the turmeric can help that. That's when we'll see a little bit more commonly. And then also with pain. Some people describe generalized pain and achiness. Maybe they're on arthritis medicines or some other pain medicines. The turmeric has been shown to help that. And sometimes with the bowel as well. So those are some things I think that can help. Now, there's other talk about, you know, helping treat cancer or reduce cancer risk, even diabetes. Some of those things are a little bit more questionable. So I guess I would answer your question with this. Ask yourself, what is it I'm really wanting to improve here? And so I really recommend not looking at this, do I need this for my health, saying, okay, what is it I'm really trying to improve? And what's the best way to improve it? Because I'll tell you, if it's, you know, general inflammation and hurting, you know, insulin resistance, again, you know, is what I'm very passionate about, reducing. People transform their health by fixing their insulin resistance. In some things, with sometimes sleep or mood stability, vitamin D, I mean, it's critical. I mean, especially in these kind of winter months and early spring, vitamin D levels are very, very low. And replacing vitamin D has been shown to make some big time improvements there, including in your bone and calcium metabolism. So I would ask yourself, what is it you're trying to improve? And is turmeric the best way to do that? That might help give you a little bit different perspective, Sherry, as you consider whether it's worth the investment in the long run.
Good advice. It's Ask the Doctor Hour here on Connecting Faith. We'll take a quick break and come back with more. Dr. J. Scott Reese, who's board certified and award-winning family medicine and emergency medicine physician, founder of iFactorHealth.com. We mentioned that you can go to iFactorHealth.com and submit your name and email address, and you'll get an update, an opportunity to take the new iFactor Health quiz coming out here in the next day. And that will help you just answer some of those questions you might have. And you might have a question yet. We still have some time open for your calls at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. More with Dr. Reese here in just a moment on Connecting Faith. Be honoring the Lord and useful for His service. It means we need to take good care of our bodies, and are getting advice on how to do that today, or practical insight from Dr. J. Scott Reese, who is a physician and founder of iFactorHealth.com. He's also written a great little book called Your Best Doctor Visit Ever, 12 Proven Strategies for an Exceptional Visit with Your Doctor. He blogs and podcasts at drreese.com. And with us today on Connecting Faith. And before we run out of time, we've talked a lot about, you know, the I factor, about insulin and insulin resistance. But I'm wondering, Doc, how do we gauge our resistance? Is it a test we take? Is it something we can just know naturally? How does that happen?
Well, it turns out, Neil, there's some signals that your body will be sending you about your I factor. And the problem is we kind of get deaf to some of these signals, and we just think that's kind of how life is, and we think I'm getting older and I'm getting some weight. It's probably how it is. In fact, one of the most common comments people give me, Neil, after they kind of sort of start a journey and they start reversing their insulin resistance, they tell me, I didn't realize how badly I felt till I'm now finally feeling good. And so sometimes it can be very, very insidious. But there's several things that you can do and you can ask yourself. And one favorite one of mine is telling people about kind of this crash I kind of alluded to a little bit earlier. You know, if you get to, let's say, mid-morning, you're 10, 10:30 in the morning, or maybe 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and then it sort of hits you. You know, you start feeling kind of sluggish and, you know, kind of low energy, maybe tired. Maybe you start like, oh my goodness, I'm having some real hunger pains, or even worse, maybe you start to feel a little nauseated. You feel like maybe you're breaking out of sweat, feel a little dizzy. I have got to eat something here. I've got to eat. I think my sugar is low. And what that's happening at that moment, now assuming you're not a diabetic on insulin or some diabetes medicine because your sugar truly could be low, but for everybody else, when that happens, the most common thought is to think, I'm hypoglycemic, because your body's sending you a signal that, oh, something's wrong. I don't feel good. And so then you eat. Then when you eat, about 5 minutes later, you feel better. Okay, my energy's come up a little bit. I don't feel dizzy or I don't feel nauseated. That's what I call the crash. The crash, and usually it's kind of mid-later morning or mid-afternoon in between a meal. And we tell our doctor, and the doctor says, yeah, you sound hypoglycemic. You need to eat more frequently. But the truth is, if you were to do your check your blood sugar at that very moment, your sugar wouldn't be low. In fact, it might even be a little bit high. The problem is your brain is interpreting that crash signal as if you were a diabetic on insulin with too much insulin, but you're not. So what's happening is your brain is responding to that crash not because your sugar is low, but because your insulin is too high and your insulin to sugar ratio is out of whack. So that's, if you're experiencing those crash symptoms, bingo. That's a classic one. Another one is, and I mentioned it, you know, earlier to DJ, is checking your A1C. That's kind of a lab test you can do to see if it's creeping up there at higher than 5.6. You know, once it hit 5.7, you're pre-diabetic. At 6.5, you're diabetic. So if it starts creeping up early on, yeah, that's another sign of insulin resistance. Your triglycerides, you're talking about lab tests. Triglycerides are how fats are transported in your body. If your triglycerides are over 150, then you probably have insulin resistance too. And really, if you're hanging on to 10, 15, 20 pounds or more and just can't lose it, I mean, 95% probability you are insulin resistant with a high I factor. So those are the folks. I mean, yay. If you want to know specifically some of those questions, I ask them on the quiz. And again, you can go to ifactorhealth.com. Within 24 hours, we'll send you a quiz. You take the quiz, you get some personalized results. I'll explain it to you in your results, exactly what that means and some tips on what to do moving forward.
Let's see if we can get through a few questions. I'm going to go to a listener who called in a little bit earlier. Gloria in Grand Forks said, I have a condition called Rosacea, I think it is. My doc says the only cure is to take an antibiotic every day for the rest of my life. Any other remedies for this?
Sounds like some rosacea is
rosacea,
what I suspect.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. And rosacea is a condition of kind of redness, usually on the face, and it's present as you get a little older, and it can cause some thickening of the skin, opening of the pores, enlargement of the nose, some of that stuff that's real obvious on the face. So one option is that, yes, to take an oral antibiotic every day like doxycycline or minocycline. Another option is, and one that I'll usually start with, is a topical cream called Metrogel. Now, Metrogel you put on twice a day. It actually is an antibiotic, but it's a topical one. So if you use it topically, A, it can have a very good effect. B, you don't get the systemic side effects of resistance, building up resistance to antibiotics and potentially bowel issues and other problems. So there are some topical treatments, Gloria, that would be very reasonable. And I'd make sure you talk to a dermatologist to get a specific recommendation based on your condition.
All right. Let's go to line one. Aaron is calling in from Texas. Aaron, thanks for calling. You're on Connecting Faith with Dr. Rees. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. How are you today?
Good.
Good.
Good. So I have a question. I'm suffering from a concussion. And so I have my normal symptoms, you know, dizziness, headaches, things like that. But I've also noticed that my acid reflux has been really bad since I had my concussion. And everything I've read doesn't really mention that or doesn't explain why. So I'm just wondering if you've heard of that before and what the correlation is. Why does that increase your reflux symptoms?
Okay.
Yeah.
Any correlation?
Yeah. Interesting, Aaron. It's really hard to tie the two together directly. Now, there certainly could be some indirect things here. So, you know, concussion means your brain basically got jostled with whatever happened. Your brain, the way God designed it, is suspended within fluid within that, you know, hard skull of ours. And that fluid acts as a shock absorber. But something happened enough where it actually kind of the fluid isn't enough and you kind of brain smacks against the inside of the skull from an accident and a fall, getting hit by a ball, whatever the case may be. So those symptoms that come from a concussion, you know, can be some headaches, some kind of confusion, feeling like you're in a fog mentally. Then you can get some GI symptoms, which can be nausea or vomiting, or some neurologic symptoms like fatigue and being dazed. But those GI symptoms, say the nausea and the vomiting, are usually from pressure in your brain that accompanies this. It's not really a stomach thing per se. So if you told me you're having nausea, like I'm getting upset stomach every time I eat, yeah, I could attribute that based on the nausea center in the brain potentially having some damage. And usually over time, that will get better. But if you're talking about reflux, now reflux is kind of heartburn symptoms. So you get this burning in your, you know, esophagus, in your upper stomach, through maybe your mid-chest, after you eat meals, when you lay down at night. Hard to correlate that directly. However, maybe indirectly, since the concussion, could it be that you've been doing some things differently? Are you less active than before? Are you lying, you know, either sitting or lying recumbent a little bit more than you had been before simply because you're not feeling well? Are you, because you're exercising less, are you eating differently? Maybe you're not able to make the effort to make healthier foods and getting snacks or some other foods. So, you know, so in other words, there may be some diet or exercise, lifestyle modification, things you're doing differently because of the concussion that could be resulting in reflux. Okay. Otherwise, it's really hard to directly connect the two unless it's, like I said, some nausea.
We've only got about 45 seconds. Don't know if you can respond to it, but Chris had called in from Wisconsin and said he has an A1C of 8.6. And he said, what's your advice or reaction on the addictive quality of foods, especially sugar?
Absolutely, Chris. It's brain chemistry. 8.6, you need to get on that right away, my friend, with your doctor if you're not already. But here's the good news. You don't have to stay a diabetic. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we used to tell people once diabetic, always diabetic. Not the case. Chris, there's hope for you. Fix your eye factor, and I've taken people through higher A1Cs than you have, reversed it back to normal. It can be done. The brain chemistry is critical, but there's hope, my friend. You can do it.
Good. Oh, great hour. Love to have you back again sometime and just take more questions because we have a lot to learn, and we want to be good stewards of the bodies that God's given us, getting us on the way and on the road to good health, Dr. J. Scott Rees, founder of iFactorHealth.com. And again, Dr. Rees, they go to iFactorHealth.com. They can sign up for the little quiz coming out, right?
Absolutely, yes. And thanks so much, Neil. God bless you, my friend, and may God bless all of our listeners.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. If you missed part of today's show, maybe we just want to listen to it again, missed part of it, want to just review it, maybe pass it on to a friend. You can always do that. We post our interviews on the Connecting Faith show page at MyFaithRadio.com. So head that direction, MyFaithRadio.com. Click on Connecting Faith for more and find out more about Dr. J. Scott Rees, our guest today. Tomorrow, Jenny Allen is a recovering achiever. She's going to talk Nothing to Prove on Friday's edition of Connecting Faith. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at MyFaithRadio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.